Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
On his website, he tells himself to be a Christian and going to the right.
This guy was not in any way associated with active Christianity or active performing of any faith.
Lord, I pray you bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
These parables are not about us. These parables are about Him, the Christ, who needs no repentance.
Lord of truck drivers, love Issues, etc.
I think you were probably like me if you're a Christian and you heard the terrible news coming out of Norway in the last couple of weeks. And then as the story began to unfold, there was some Christian connection of this terrorist, this murderer. And you wondered, it can't be that this man was acting in the name of Christianity. Now, he calls himself a Christian, but his definition of Christian is somewhat different than the conventional definition. And the media is struggling right now. They are struggling with what to call Anders Breivik. Is he a Christian fundamentalist? Is he a nationalist? He's certainly a terrorist, but other than that, what is he and what motivated him to these terrible acts of violence? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, the 28th of July. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly joins us for the next half hour to talk about media coverage of the Norway terrorist. Then Dr. Corey Moss will be our guest. We'll be talking about 16th century Lutheran confessor and martyr. He was burned at the stake by Henry VIII, Robert Barnes. It's a fascinating story of politics and theology and the Reformation stopping and starting in Great Britain. And he was a disciple of Martin Luther. We'll see what Corey Moss has to say in the next half hour of Issues, etc. Joining us to talk about media coverage of the Norway terrorist, Terry Mattingly. He's director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
What are the media calling Anders Breivik?
Well, all kinds of things, but I think it's important to pick the most important news outlet in the world and kind of trace their wrestling match with him, you know, in terms of what to describe him, and that would be the New York Times. And this is a case when are you hanging on to your seat? You ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to praise the New York Times. Do you think our listeners can handle this? Okay, here we go. They've actually been quite cautious in their wording. They basically clarified the degree to which that this guy had called himself a Christian on his website, but in their opening stories on this horrible, hellish tragedy, they went out of their way to paint the fact that he did this for what clearly was political motivations. He struck a political target, and that all of his fiercest ideas and the things he was most concerned about were all political issues linked to the array of legislation that people in Europe would simply call multiculturalism. They did a great job of that. And then something happened. One of the police figures, one of the police leaders in Norway, called this man that he was a Christian fundamentalist. The F word had been used. It was on the record. It was inside direct quotes. And to some degree, you had to use that quote. I mean, it was coming from one of the two to three key figures in describing the progress of the case. And journalists find it very hard to justify not going with direct quotes from the people who are at the heart of the story. All of a sudden, almost all of the media went to Christian fundamentalist within the top two paragraphs. The Times hung in there. They had to some degree, they had to use the quote, but they used it a little further down in the story, and they said, "And the man that police identified as a, quote, Christian fundamentalist." Do you hear the distancing?
Yeah.
To this day, the Times continues to have some of the saner wordings for this man. They had a headline that called him a Christian extremist. Well, once again, they're stuck with the fact that the man calls himself a Christian. It's to not go with that self-identification, you really have to work hard to put that in context. And that's what the press is struggling with. I'm going to write something for Get Religion that will go up probably tonight or tomorrow morning about a story that's in today's New York Times. And their current phrase, I think, once again, it's going to make people's skin crawl, but it's based on his wordings. But listening again to the distancing, Andres Behring Breivik, a self-described Christian crusader. Now, by you calling him a Christian crusader, they're calling up a very particular sections of his manifesto, and this is his vision of himself. And they've also cast this with language that to the ear is violent, crusader, right? I think that's not perfect, but in context, that might be the best phrase that anyone's going to get. Here's the key, though. We are still very early in this story. I have asked readers, and readers at Get Religion have been kind of hesitant to do this. I've asked readers to say, let's stop just for a second and pretend that this was, as it was incorrectly identified early on, let's pretend that this was the act of a quote-unquote Muslim, you know, terrorist. What would you do to attempt to justify that language? Journalists would immediately begin seeking a particular set of facts that could be reported as journalism. What has this person said? With whom has this person associated? What kind of inspirational materials have they either read or quoted? Where have they worshipped? In other words, how have they practiced or not practiced their faith? And I also said, especially in the case in Norway, the old journalism saw that you should follow the money would also help, because apparently this bomber had some money. To what degree has he contributed money or received money from what groups? Now, these are just plain old journalism questions. I'm addressing them, however, to religious content. Other than this man's manifesto of what he says about himself, we now have that. We have a little bit of who he's claimed to have read. That's good. We know nothing about whether religion has played any role whatsoever in his life at this point. We have no facts on that at all. And I consider that to be rather crucial if we're going to continue to use the Christian label.
In his manifesto, I take it he is careful to distinguish his use of the word Christian from what might be the more common use of the word Christian. How does Breivik define that word in his own thinking?
Well, we've got a problem there in that, once again, we have a contradiction built into his actions and motivations. It's clear that at some point he wanted to identify with the Christian, alleged Christian heritage of Norway, or I just used the word alleged, that was really a cheap shot, Norway's past. So he self-identifies and gets baptized into the state church. Did he do that because he's Christian, or did he do that because he wanted to be a part of old Norway? That's where you're trying to read someone's mind. So we have that problem. Then in his manifesto, we have him saying, I'm not a religious person. I do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When I say Christian, what I really mean is I'm identifying with the Christian past of Europe. And I would like to see that only if we're going to have a unified Europe that throws off Islam, that will be, in some sense, this myth, you know, this mythical, historical, all-unified Catholic Christian Europe, which, by the way, he doesn't like the Catholic Church anyway because it's not violent enough. it's going to have to learn to do crusades again. So you can't even pin that on him. And this, so thus he's got the Knights Templar. He's got the Masonic thing going on. It's just this hodgepodge of stuff. But it all comes down to kind of European, and I don't mind using the word ethnic, identity. In other words, I am Norwegian. That means I'm part of the Church of Norway, even though I hate it. Even though I hate the current leadership, I hate what it stands for, but I'm still going to call myself that, because if we ever get a true Norway back again, you know, it will be in some cultural sense Christian. I put a link up at Get Religion to a piece by an evangelical in Europe who made the interesting point that, if anything, he said this man is a European fundamentalist. that he has some idealized, concrete vision of what Europe used to be, and he's a fundamentalist defender of old Europe, which I think is an interesting phrase. Journalists are not going to use it, but it's still an interesting point to make. At the heart of this man's identity is political radicalism, his hatred of Islam, and his desire to defend his vision of Europe from Islam. A piece of his vision of Europe is this kind of Christianity that fights for itself and defends itself, you know, even if violence is necessary.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, more with Terry Mattingly, director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes a weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. We're talking about how the media is covering the Norway terrorist, what the media is calling him, how he is being classified. We'll find out more of what Terry thinks about it after this.
How many Bible studies have companion issues, etc. audio?
Dr. Ken Sherb on our Book of the Month for July, The Christian's Mission.
The Christian's Mission takes you in 9 sessions through an overview of your mission as a Christian, centering in the grace of God in Christ. A great alternative to a lot of quote-unquote missional thinking out there.
Order The Christian's Mission by calling 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Christian's Mission.
Here are 2 new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. IssuesETC.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, IssuesETC.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Here are 2 new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday afternoon, July the 28th. We're talking with Terry Mattingly about how the media is covering the Norway terrorist, what they're calling him, the struggle, really, honestly, that they're going through, trying to find an appropriate term to describe not only the man, but also the motivation for his tragic crimes. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is called The Christian's Mission. Much has been written about how Christians have a mission. Most of it terribly confuses the church's mission with the Christian's mission. Most of it substitutes the Christian's mission for the church's mission. How do we sort through all of this and understand the proper relationship of the Christian to the church and the Christian's mission to that of the church and the proper place of the Christian's vocation and all of that? Those questions are all answered abundantly in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, The Christian's Mission by Dr. Ken Sherb. Browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. Order The Christian's Mission, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Terry, it's difficult because the word that I want to gravitate toward when it comes to Anders Breivik is nationalist, but that doesn't cover the scope of his aspiration.
And it doesn't even cover what he did in terms of Norway. In other words, he's fighting Norway. He's fighting the modern Norway in defense of his vision of a Norway of the past. And that's what is so, I hate to use the word fascinating for such a horrible and despicable and cowardly act as shooting a bunch of children. But look what he chose to do. To me, the most interesting part of this story is that he did not shoot Muslims. He went after the children of the political elite that has backed multiculturalism. You know, the liberal party that's running the country. He deliberately attacked the future of the political leadership of his own nation, which that's interesting on so many levels. But it also, doesn't it show the political nature of his act? That ultimately this was not, it was, of course, an attack on Islam, in the sense that it was an attack on the policies that have allowed so many Muslims to move into Norway and Europe and kind of set up encamped cultures and societies within European society. But it really was an attack based on the opposition to a set of political policies called multiculturalism. He went after those people.
Has the press, or what has the press done with the claim of an association with a Knights Templar?
First of all, there's no facts there. I mean, he's made allusions that there are other cells and other nations, and there are these alleged contacts. We don't know if that's, if that was, five guys out having a beer in Berlin, with one person from Britain, one person from France. Who knows what that was? That's all going to have to emerge in factual material. And until reporters can report that, the way they could report that the shoe bomber was influenced by the following radical imam with whom he had corresponded by email and phone on the following dates in the following, it's going to have to be factual when we get into that discussion. Right now, it just seems like some bizarre variation on the Da Vinci Code or something.
Has the media coverage of this story, in terms of being careful, as you commended the New York Times for being here and continuing to be, has the media coverage in general gotten better since the incident or worse?
It has varied, in my opinion, totally by the publications. I mean, the LA Times covered itself in infamy, as far as I'm concerned, in some of their early stories. We're now beginning to see some pretty good writing. There's an essay up at the CNN religion weblog that we praise to Get Religion, which once again is not perfect, but it's got all kinds of interesting voices with a variety of different viewpoints. And once again, the theme running through it is political act, political motivations in defense of something that he keeps describing as Christian Europe. And I think that's the equation that the media needs to try to communicate, the three levels of the story at this point.
You point out that there are no signs of institutional links or real live clergy. That we've come up with. So what is the journalist's task in uncovering factual information that they can actually report on?
I don't know. I've said that I would really hate to be an editor trying to make these decisions at this point. It's going to be very interesting to me if this guy really is a church of one, that he has his approach, he's defining Christianity his way based on his reading of a bizarre, diverse set of things. I mean, this has got to be the only John Stuart Mill spouting fundamentalist in the history of the world, right? this is not a normal, you know, person, you know, reading the fundamentals of the faith in the early 19th century in American Protestantism. He seems to be like the ultimate free church. I am a church of one. I've made up my own scriptures. I've got my own doctrine. And apparently I am only worshiping with myself, and maybe even he's worshiping himself.
How would you compare press here as opposed to press closer to the event itself?
Interesting. I'm not an expert on what the European papers have done, but what I have seen, the coverage in Europe actually seems to be better than some of the coverage I've seen in America. Maybe they're reading the New York Times. I don't know, but they seem to be emphasizing the political nature. Maybe that's because the debate over multiculturalism is a much bigger issue in Europe, and thus they're more familiar with the terms. Does that make sense? In other words, if you were day after day after day, you're covering political stories based about arguments about multiculturalism, you would more naturally recognize what that language looks like when you hear it. Whereas in America, we don't really have people arguing about legislation over multiculturalism, at least not yet.
Do you think that the press is going to be able, you said at the beginning of our conversation, that at this point they really still need to acknowledge that quotation from the police officer, Christian
yeah.
fundamentalist. Do you think there's going to come a point in the course of this story where that quote can be left behind for something really more descriptive?
I think we're almost there. And I don't think there would be any struggle to justify dropping the word fundamentalist at this point. Whatever this man is, he is not a practicing Christian. And you cannot be a practicing Christian. How are you a fundamentalist if you're not even practicing the faith? I mean, you're the old joke about Baptists. You know, you have a desert island with three Baptists. What do you get? The First Baptist Church of Ireland, Second Baptist Church of Ireland, and the Third Baptist Church of Ireland. You know, I mean, I'm not calling him a Baptist. What I'm saying is he seems to be totally isolated and alone based on the facts that we know now. How are you? He's so fundamentalist that he's off totally by himself. I don't even know what the word means in that case. For that matter, I'd love to know if that press quote, if that quote from the policeman, I would like to know if he actually spoke that in English or in Norwegian. I'd like to know if there even is a Norwegian word that accurately translates as fundamentalist in the sense that we would use the word here in America referring to a certain branch of Protestantism. One of the big parts of the story is Americans are not used to reading coverage about a land in which there is a state church. To some degree, my friend Arnie Fjellstedt, who works with us related in a project related to Get Religion, and Arnie is both a Lutheran pastor in the Church of Norway and a former editor at a newspaper. They're a newspaper that's like the level of the New York Times. Arnie is a really good authority on this. And he said that in Norwegian, there are two different terms. One is nominal Christian, and the other is personal Christian. And Arnie said this man has all of the characteristics that Norwegians would call a nominal Christian, someone who identifies with that term purely for ethnic and national reasons, as opposed to personal Christian, where he identifies himself as having a personal faith in Jesus Christ, which, if you'll notice in the manifesto, he goes out of his way to say, I do not have a personal relationship
with
Jesus Christ. Now, the manifesto was written in English, but Arnie's convinced that he was referring to this term in Norwegian, that he's not a personal Christian.
With only 30 seconds here, Terry, I guess the last question I have for you is, there is a sector of the press now, of the global press, that is, I'm going to call it Arabic-speaking, perhaps? I don't want to say
yeah.
Muslim press, but we think Al Jazeera. How have
yeah.
they dealt with this story?
Well, I don't know that much about it, but I have seen some wrap-ups, and that's where the fundamentalist word remains alive. Apparently, in the Arab-speaking press and in the Arab street, this man is a Christian fundamentalist, and that's sad.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for being patient with me on this one. This was a confusing one.
When we come back, Dr. Corey Moss will join us. You probably don't know his name, Robert Barnes, unless you were a student of history. And even then, as a student of history, you may not recognize the name. He was a 16th century Lutheran confessor and martyr. He was burned at the stake by Henry VIII, not necessarily for heresy, but for something. He is considered in Lutheran circles, in the circles of the Reformation, a martyr nonetheless. We'll find out why Robert Barnes was killed and how he died, and his relationship to the 16th century Reformation, to Martin Luther, and to the Wittenberg theologians who were at the very heart of the 16th century Reformation. We have a way you can help support and promote Issues Etc. at our website. Go there tonight, issuesetc.org. Click support, and when you get there, you'll find both a bulletin board flyer you can put up at church that you download and print off, or a set of 10 Issues Etc. business cards that you can download, print off, cut, and take wherever you go. Issuesetc.org. Click support.
After more than 20 years, we thought we'd bring you some fresh new ideas for Raging Rivers Water Park. Try this. Raging Rivers, home of the awesome wave pool. Not bad. Raging Rivers does have an awesome wave pool. But what about the Endless River, Body Flume, Swamp Pool, Treehouse Harbor, Itty Bitty, Surf City, and more? How about Raging Rivers? It's closer than you think. Well, it is just a short scenic drive from anywhere in the Metro St. Louis area. What else? Raging Rivers, affordable fun in the sun. Raging Rivers, the family fun destination. Raging Rivers, a great place for teens. Raging Rivers, open daily on the Great River Road in Grafton, Illinois. You know, these are all wonderful, but they just don't capture the essence of Raging Rivers. The thrills, the relaxation, the absolute ultimate water park experience. Guess there's only one way to say it. Raging Rivers, it's cool when it's hot. Save $3 off the regular admission price with coupons available at your Schnucks.
Independent and in the black for 3 years and running. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A university is compelled to treat pro-lifers fairly.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The application for Vanderbilt University's nursing program required the applicant to pledge to participate in abortion procedures. However, that is no longer the case, thanks to the Pro-Life Alliance Defense Fund. Lawyers for ADF filed a complaint with the Department of Health and Human Services over the application pledge, pointing out that it is a violation of federal law to force people to participate in abortions contrary to their religious or moral beliefs. In response, Vanderbilt officials announced they would immediately remove the pledge from the application.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.